Communism from the Inside by Douglas A. Hyde. A personal note. This pamphlet is written on the basis of my own personal experience. For 20 years from the time I was 17, I was a member of the Communist Party, holding positions at all levels of the organization. I held responsible positions in a large number of its satellite bodies, spoke for it, wrote for it, lived for it. For 8 years, I was employed as an executive on the communist paper, The Daily Worker, as chief sub-editor, then chief reporter, and finally, for the last 5 years, as news editor. My reasons for resigning and seeking to become a Catholic have been told elsewhere, but it should be understood that I too believed, preached, and spread the ideas which are here explained and exposed. I know from experience the hold which they can have on men's minds, the effect they have on men's lives, and their power for untold evil. And having found the only possible alternative to communism in the Catholic Church, I know the need for combating communism and all its works. It is my hope that this pamphlet will provide some much-needed ammunition for the fight. Douglas A. Hyde, June 1948. Many communists are likable, intelligent, and sincere people. They became communists because they genuinely desired a better world. They are fired with enthusiasm for their cause and with a great hatred of injustice. Yet the Catholic Church says that communism and Christianity are totally incompatible, that communism is evil, and that, in the last analysis, the struggle of our time is between the forces represented by the Catholic Church on the one hand and communism on the other. Is this due to bigotry on the part of the Church? Is it simply that she sees a rival and is determined to smash it? During the course of the recent war, millions of men and women in Britain passed through our factories, and millions more served in one or other of the services. There, they not infrequently met members of the Communist Party for the first time. They found them to be very different from what they had expected. They were not morons or monsters, but individuals devoted to a cause and prepared to work and, if need be, sacrifice for it. But the trouble is that the cause they serve is utterly evil. The Catholic Church has for a long time said that where you have communism, you cannot have Christianity, that when a state or individual goes communist, Christianity is driven out. But many people are today bemused by the red haze of pro-Soviet sentiment which swept this country after Hitler's bombers turned east in 1941. They are bemused by communist propaganda, too, which is widespread and percolates through to all sections of the community, and such people naturally feel that perhaps the Church overstates her case. All over Europe there were people who felt like that after the war. There were Catholics who thought that they could safely cooperate with the communists on some of their just demands, and the communists knew how to work on such people, for they understand the modern art of propaganda and often use it to perfection. Now, too late in some cases, those who associated with them are discovering that unless the communists are unmasked in time, unless the influence of communism is broken, those who assisted it to power are quickly put aside and persecuted once the communists are actually in power. It happened in Romania, in Hungary, and in Czechoslovakia, and those Catholics who thought that they could use the communists or cooperate with them discovered that the process is rather like going for a ride on a tiger, and the consequences are identical. And just as it happened in Eastern Europe, so it could happen here. The way to counteract the spread of communism is to be well informed about it. It is not sufficient simply to say that communism is atheistic, immoral, brutal, and evil if you have no evidence to back it up, because almost certainly someone will turn round and say that he or she has worked with communists and found them to be likable, intelligent, and sincere. It is necessary to know why such people can nonetheless be working for an utterly evil cause, and to understand something of the theory and practice of that evil cause itself. If we know why communism destroys the soul and does not even make for material human happiness, we shall all the more effectively be able successfully to combat it. But first let us remember that there is nothing to be gained by dishonest anti-communist propaganda founded on lies and distortions. The most effective case against communism is the true one, and the case against communism is damning enough to require no flights of the imagination to make it appear even worse. Let our weapons in the fight against it be truth, understanding, and Christian action. It is the purpose of this pamphlet to provide the background for the first two in particular, along with evidence which shows how correct are the Church's allegations against it. Let us take some of these allegations and see how far they are justified. First, the one which has been made over and over again. Communism is atheistic and seeks to destroy all belief in God. There are some who may feel that this is somewhat far-fetched, that the first part of the above allegation may be true, but that the latter assertion does not necessarily follow. A man may, it might be argued, himself be an atheist without therefore wishing to work by every means at his disposal for the destruction of all belief in God on the part of others. But that is one of the things which distinguishes the communist materialism from the earlier freethinkers variety. For communism doesn't simply say, there is no God. It goes on to say, men everywhere must be made to cease believing in him. At the conclusion of almost every communist meeting and demonstration, members of the crowd take off their hats and sing the Internationale, and when they sing the words, "No saviors from on high deliver, no trust have we in prince or peer," they are not just singing words which they know to be empty and meaningless. On the contrary, they sum up the Marxist materialist philosophy, and the communist sings them with the utmost conviction. For the whole Marxist case is built up on the foundation of the most militant atheism of all time, dialectical or historical materialism, as it was called by its originators Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. That materialism is not just one odd, unimportant part of the communist doctrine, it is its foundation upon which the entire superstructure of communist theory and practice is built up. It declares that everything in the universe is material, in content and in cause, from the tiniest primitive cell to the human brain itself. The mind, the will, are but material functions of that purely material gray matter. There is, of course, no place for soul or spirit or God in such a theory. Progress and development, says the Marxist, are the result of a never-ending conflict between opposites, the dialectic from which dialectical materialism takes its name. But let us choose, more or less at random, what the Marxist theorists themselves have had to say on the question. In his book Anti-During, Engels says, "All religion, however, is nothing but the fantastic reflection in men's minds of those external forces which control their daily life." On page 32 of the same book, he says, "The economic structure of society always forms the real basis from which, in the last analysis, is to be explained the whole superstructure of legal and political institutions, as well as the religious, philosophical, and other conceptions of each historical period." Karl Marx himself summed up their view on religion when he declared that religion is the opium of the people. Lenin, who applied the teachings of Marx and Engels to the conditions of our own time, and incidentally applied them in practice too by leading the Russian Revolution, developed Marx's phrase and declared, "Religion is a kind of spiritual intoxicant in which slaves of capital drown their humanity and blunt their desire for a decent human existence." After the October Revolution in Russia, Lenin had Marx's phrase engraved on the walls of the former city hall in Moscow, right opposite to the famous shrine of the Iberian Virgin Mother. Later, the shrine was removed, but the slogan remained. But, it may be argued, this does not prove that communists consciously use their dialectical materialism in their political campaigns and in their everyday lives. Here is what Engels said about dialectical materialism. "It is our best working tool and sharpest weapon." And that is what the Communist Party everywhere believes today. Large numbers of people join the Communist Party here in Britain every year. Usually they are induced to become members after they have been drawn into one of the party's campaigns on humanitarian, industrial, or quite limited political issues. They may join as a result of an emotional appeal to do so made by a communist speaker at a great demonstration. They will almost certainly know little about Marxism and nothing about dialectical materialism. But they will quickly learn. First, they are asked to attend a beginner's course of classes where the barest elements of Marxism are served up in a highly sugar-coated form. This will be followed by a course entitled Scientific Socialism, which is, in fact, the elements of historical materialism, or dialectical materialism applied to history. Soon, the beginner will be conditioned to a point where he himself wants to know more about dialectics, and the information will, of course, be given him, probably in the shape of Stalin's classic work on the subject and in more study classes. In the process, he will lose whatever religious beliefs he possessed, or go out of the party in time, and gain an entirely new approach to all moral and ethical questions. So the dialectical materialism of Marx is not something dead or inconsequential, it is very much alive. It is being continuously injected into people's minds here in Britain, and is, of course, the official religion as taught in all schools and universities throughout 1/6 of the world, namely the USSR. The ultimate aim of the communists is to destroy the last vestige of belief in God from the face of the earth. Any compromise or apparent easing of their anti-God campaign is no more than a purely temporary tactic designed to achieve more quickly and thoroughly that final goal.